Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean, the weekend edition. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. I'll throw in Saturday as well, seeing as how it's the weekend edition and everything. Ben Sanders is a New Zealander who is a best-selling author. You might not even have heard of him, but you need to start reading his books immediately. Jennifer Ward Leland, also very successful actor, director, and now organiser of festivals. And Jack Tane wants to have a little comment on school shootings in the States. But before any of that, a couple of New Zealand links with American sports. Let's start with the NFL first. A guy who does sports science with the Seahawks.
What sports did you play when you were a young fella?
Yeah, I was a track. Every New Zealand schoolboy plays rugby, plays a bit of softball, does track and field. We play every sport. I'm from a country school outside of Invercargill, very small, and everyone get involved in every sport. And so as you go through life, you start to find the sports that you're more attuned to, that you like better and better at. And so I started to gravitate towards the track and field, and that was where I got my first interaction with coaching athletes. My coach was an excellent coach, still one of my mentors today, a guy called Neil Familton. He was the physiotherapist for the All Blacks when they won the first Rugby World Cup. So an awesome stroke of luck that he was my coach and obviously a mentor up till this very day. So worked with him as an athlete, and then started coaching different athletes, track and field athletes, with just guys and who were down at Surrey Park in Invercargill. And so there was a particular day that a rugby league player turned up at the track. He got asking around, saying he wanted to do some conditioning work, wanted to get faster. They pointed in my direction, a guy called Dave Karika, and he was with the Mangere East rugby league team, which was completely amateur back in the days down in the deep south. And so he said, "Hey, come along and do some work that you're doing with me with some of the team and see what they think." And so I started working with the team. And so, that's how it all started back in the later part of the 80s.
So that's Dean Riddle talking with Nigel Yalden there. So that's the NFL. Let's go NHL now. And the coach who is so inspired by the All Blacks, he's introduced All Blacks culture into his ice hockey team.
First of all, when did the book Legacy come into your consciousness?
I actually picked it up this summer, so not too long ago, probably 6 months ago before the season started. And I heard about it, and I heard some people talking about it, and someone gave me the book, and I dove right in, started reading it, and it just sort of knocked my socks off. I was it just hit a special place for me. It hit home, and it's everything that I wanted to get in this job. Florida's my first year with the team, and I wanted to bring in some kind of identity to the team, and this was the perfect fit for me.
What in particular really grabbed a hold of you?
The history and the success of the All Blacks, franchise and organization, and two, just for me, listening to the interviews of the players and the stories behind the scenes and what it meant to, put that jersey over their head and the pride and the accountability that the players have with each other, and just the for me, that was the best thing. And I thought it was a perfect fit, and it's something probably our guys didn't know a lot about. And it was something that I think our players would really, really accept.
I love it when you hear hockey coaches with that accent. That, when they say a boot, they actually say a boot rather than about. I'm sure the other stuff he said was very interesting as well, but I got a bit distracted by that. Now, Ben Sanders is a very successful New Zealand author who perhaps you may not even have heard of. Got another bestseller along the way.
Can you just tell us a little bit about the kind of books you write?
Well, the intention is to write thrillers. So obviously, the aim is to keep people on the edge of their seats, if that's not sounding too reductionist. But, I've always been very passionate in stories with great characters and great plot, basically. That's naturally sort of forced me into the mystery genre, where awful things are happening to people that hopefully readers will relate to.
Are they set in New Zealand?
No, well, it's funny for me, actually. My first three books were locally set books. I had a trilogy about an Auckland police detective, but I found that they weren't selling very well. So I was very fortunate a few years ago. I was picked up by a US publisher, and they had the very good suggestion of maybe moving my setting to the US, and it's worked out well for me so far.
Yeah, the stakes is set in New York and LA, so you spend a bit of time in the States.
Yeah, it seems like a basic rule to actually go and get first-hand experience of the place that you're writing about. So I try and get over there a couple of times a year, but I've always found that my writing process is very visual. I can picture my stories vividly in my head, and by virtue of actually spending time in a place, I immediately have that knowledge bank. I can see my settings, and that triggers little ideas of what's actually going on. So it's just an obvious kind of part of the process for me. I couldn't get by without it.
I'm thinking to do these podcasts better, I need to go to the places where the things I'm talking about are happening a bit more, rather than just sitting in this studio by myself. Do you think that would make them? I think it would make them much better, don't you? Now, Jennifer Ward-Leland, she's been all over the place. She's been spending a lot of time in Hawke's Bay recently organising their Art Deco Festival.
Have you had fun?
It's been glorious down here. It's the longest stretch I've ever been here. I came down early January to direct Madame Butterfly, which we opened on Tuesday the 13th. And so it's been really wonderful getting to know the place. And although I've sort of toured around the Hawke's Bay before, I've really kind of just popped in for 2-3 days here and there. Mm. But 5 weeks really gives you a lovely sense of the community. And what a beautiful community it is.
Absolutely. And it was my first Art Deco last year. I just couldn't believe how everybody gets into the spirit of things. If you landed as a tourist in Napier on Art Deco weekend, you would wonder what on earth was going on, whether you had in fact stepped back in time.
Yes. Mm. And you know what has been so charming to see is that even when the cruise ships come in, the tours that go on around the town all the time, the vintage cars that are out and about taking people around, it's really, they really do it extremely well here in Napier.
That's exactly it. And I think what appeals to playing dress-ups, and I suppose, that's something actors get to do fairly regularly, but for lay people to dress up, there's certain rules to follow and costumes that are prescribed, so you know to a certain extent how to act, and there's a certain safety in that.
Exactly, and there are so many shops and places around the town to help you do that properly, that there's really kind of no excuse not to. And, they've made it easy for people, and I think that's lovely. And you're right, it is about dress-ups, and dress-ups are fun if everybody's doing it.
Yes.
You can, and there's so much to admire. It gives us, it just takes us out of the ordinary and into something that is really delicious for the eyes.
So there you go, Napier, dress-up capital of New Zealand. People seem to love a dress up around here. Any excuse, somebody's birthday, somebody's anniversary, somebody got out of the right side of bed. Any excuse for a dress up around here. I just wonder if all those people can be shipped off to Napier and then just live their alternative lifestyle there. Anyway, we're going to finish up here. We're going to end up on a bit of a down note today, but a poignant one from Jack. He's been reflecting on the latest of many, many, many school shootings in America.
But I remember distinctly as a boy reading all the awful detail, soaking in every word from the features on the Columbine massacre. The 13 people murdered, the teachers who tried to save their kids. It was horror movie stuff, but it was fascinating, I guess, in an awful way. Of course, I grew up, I became a news reporter, I moved to America. I covered numerous school shootings and massacres in the 5 years I was living in the States. Sandy Hook, Pulse, San Bernardino, and all the others. I came to know the response pattern, the news cycle. If Columbine happened today, it would lead the news for no more than a day or two. Think about that. If Columbine happened today, it would lead the news for no more than a day or two. In a week, you and I wouldn't be able to tell anyone the name of the killers or the names of the victims. Unless there was something really unusual about it, truly bizarre about the shooters. I don't know, maybe they would be dressed in special outfits as superheroes or something. there would be few ways to differentiate it from all the other school shootings. 13 people slaughtered. Columbine was the worst horror imaginable. Well, 32 died at Virginia Tech. 27 died at Sandy Hook. 17 people died in Florida. Things change, but then they don't.
And unfortunately, you just end up with a lot of talk and not much action by the sounds of things. There's some pretty activated students out of this latest shooting who are making a lot of noise. Let's see if they can have an effect. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB, the weekend edition. I will see you back here again with more noise for you tomorrow.